We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me, as always, over there in rainy New York City. Dark. Dingy. Almost fall slash winter New York City. Dan Rubenstein, how are you?
Ty, I'm pretty good. Yes, it was a rainy walk back home. No UConn hats.
Nope.
Nothing crazy. Was not listening to Sting and the Police to inspire me. But the conversation we just had before hitting record, before speeding, as they say in the
business. Are we gonna peel back this curtain?
Yeah. Well, okay. No, it may have inspired my selection, at least my contribution for the Saturday nickname, which I imagine you now know what it is.
Interesting.
But you yourself were very enthusiastic and excited about your possible contributions to the Week 8 Saturday nickname. So I'm gonna stand back and let you introduce the show.
Yes, please.
I'm just telling you, I'm in a place that I hope many teams come Saturday, especially on the road, especially with some, I was initially thinking scattered shower Saturday, because there's a lot of those around the country.
Okay.
But I'm gonna step back right now and let you do your thing.
Welcome, one, welcome all, college football fans. I'm Ty, he's Dan. This is the Solid Verbal College Football Podcast. We do three shows a week. You just happen to be listening to our Thursday Week 8 preview show. Got a bunch of games that we're going to go through here momentarily. But if you like the show, don't forget to subscribe. You can do so out on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Overcast. Give us a rating. Give us a star ranking. Whatever your chosen platform offers, all of that stuff helps us out, helps us keep making great podcasts, especially this time of year where we're really pedal to the metal. We're trying to leave it all out on the field. I think we're doing a pretty good job, but if you've got any contributions that you'd like to add beyond those reviews or star rankings, solidverbal@gmail.com. You can always reach out. We read every email, even though we can't respond to them all. We are also out there on social media, on Twitter, of course, at solidverbal. As well as Instagram at Solid Verbal and Facebook.com/Solid Verbal as well. If you are a super fan or just want to lurk, I think that's what they call it, lurk, out on the old Reddit, you can do so at solidverbal.reddit.com. It is a teeming community of Verballers that was started by Verballers, not us.
That's true.
Where they talk about all of our episodes. It's a lot of fun to hang.
I've enjoyed the engagement. I think it's mostly me posting on the subreddit from the Solid Verbal account, but maybe you do as well. I just haven't noticed. A lot of people curious, and I would say for the most part, very polite about my national championship views, where it's not the thing that really gets me going about college football. But also something else caught my, I guess, eyes, if I'm reading. And I love the thought that went into this. So there was somebody who posted, is it just me or does Ty sound more like a Dan and Dan sound more like a Ty? And a bunch of people were like, I've had that same thought.
Well, and that's so funny. Because
I appreciate the thought that goes into what a Dan sounds like and a Ty sounds like.
We've done
Ty, by the way.
Yeah, we've done a lot of live shows where people come up to me and call me Dan.
Yes. Oh, it's absolutely true.
And I never have the heart to tell them, no, I'm Ty. Like, I'm just glad they came. I can't believe they bought a ticket to see us spin our nonsense in front of them. And I just don't have the heart to tell them. So
I think Dan is probably, they don't know fully that your full name is Tyler. I think the straight tie is associated with more dumb pizzazz, which I think I bring to the show.
The Straight Tie Express. Pizzazz. Okay.
And I think Dan is something you can set your watch to. I think it's more rock solid. And I think that's what you bring. I mean, among many other things. But you are the guiding rudder for not just the two screws, but the entire Solid Verbal universe.
I see what you did there. That was a very nice tie-in, Dan.
Yeah, thank you very much. So I understand it, but fascinating.
Well, check out all of those channels. We'd love to have you. Thank you so much for downloading. We are going to get into it here, but as Dan said at the top of the show, we don't want to drone on too long about things that don't matter, like our names. We want to talk about what we're going to nickname this coming Saturday. It's been a practice.
Yeah.
I would say each of the last at least 2 years now, where when we get into the month of October, or I should say Brocktober in our case, right?
Oh my gosh, shout out Brock Purdy.
If we're doing this correct, if we're tying all of our shows together, it is Brocktober.
Yeah.
If we're following our normal template, once we get into the month of October, we like to name the Saturdays. So ESPN will do it. They'll do a separation Saturday or a statement Saturday, I think it was in week 7. That's great. It's easy to understand. It lacks the creative flair that I think you and I bring to the equation here.
Our Pitbull-themed Week 7 Saturday, Worldwide Saturday?
We had Worldwide Saturday. We actually started a week early and did it in September because we were so amped up to get rolling, and it seemed like it fit.
Right.
We have an opportunity here, Dan.
Okay.
Before us in Week 8 that I'm very excited about. I should say, first and foremost, that I thought about scrapping my entire idea here because I found a ladybug in my salad today, and I considered Salad Bug Saturday, but I couldn't quite tie it in correctly. Hmm.
Okay.
I could probably talk my way
into it. We could figure something out there.
But, as you know, we've slowly but surely been introducing the so-called neck crack game.
Correct. Oh, God.
That's the neck crack sound that I have.
What
if anyone has a different one, solidverbal@gmail.com, let us know. We've slowly been introducing the neck crack game into our coverage this year.
Right.
And we actually got a suggestion from a Verballer out on the reverb line that we should also introduce the knee pop into our lexicon now that we're going full neck crack.
Is that like an involuntary knee pop that you get at the doctor?
Oh, no, I can do a knee pop on command.
Oh, it's like you're cracking some sort of joint in your knee.
I counted up. I can crack 9 different joints in my body.
Yeah, I'm probably about like 3.5, 4.
Yeah,
much better than
very
I can do neck,
jointed.
I can do back, I can do knuckles, I can do ankles.
I can do my left elbow since I had my arm surgery.
Oh, yeah, I can't do that.
And I can also
do a finger crack, but I don't know if it's a joint thing.
I can do a wicked chest pop, too, where I sort of like puff my chest out.
Ty.
It sounds like a tree limb is breaking. It's incredible.
You're like a disgusting uncle with your novelty cracks.
Something like that. Anyway, this all got me to thinking when I looked at the slate this week and, you know, sure, we've got Oregon and Washington. We've got Penn State, Michigan, Baylor, Oklahoma State. Those games could all be close.
Right.
But we've also got Ohio State, Northwestern. We've also got LSU, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Georgia. A handful of other games that you could see getting out of hand.
Mm-hmm.
And so to tie this all in a nice little bow, Dan, how would you feel about subluxation Saturday?
Wow. So you're thinking it'll be a lot of not just neck cracks, but because you think they're going to be neck crack games, subluxation makes sense?
I think so. I think a lot of good relieving pops for some of the top teams after the gauntlet of the first 7 weeks of the year.
I think it's a good name for an appropriate week, and I don't know if I see it that way. Because I see a lot of the top games being pretty close and not run away, this is who we really are, it's good to be back to where we think we should be type of day. I mean, who do you think is running away and getting back to, like, Georgia, Kentucky? Sure, that could be a neck crack game.
Okay. What is your better suggestion then?
So what we opened up with, I mean, what we were talking about before we started recording was it's dark, it's gloomy, it's raining, and I get affected by that, Ty, especially because I'm from the sunny West Coast. And I was thinking, because of the number of teams on the road, the number of forecasts that call for showers, heavy rain, scattered showers, that there could be an opportunity because of wet ball fumbles, harder to grip and throw, could be some weird results due to weather and people getting down. I have seasonal affect Saturday.
Seasonal affect. It's a little bit, it's more of a mouthful, if I'm being honest.
Than subluxation?
It's more of a mouthful to me. It's two words.
I'm gonna defer to subluxation Saturday, but I'm going to also say it's going to be a seasonal affect Saturday.
It could be a little bit of both, and it could be a salad bug Saturday if there's an upset. You never know.
Fun fact that I learned from the Solid Babies heavy rotation of music, it's actually a lady bird bug.
Lady bird
bug. In a number of countries. Yeah.
Okay. Well, write in again.
Yeah.
On Twitter, call into the Reverb line at 408-VERBAL-1.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know what your preferred Saturday moniker is, but have a couple choices. I'm sticking with subluxation. You can go seasonal affect. Yeah. Salad bug. We got three options here, three-headed monster, as we just go ahead and dive into our window of opportunity.
Yeah.
Again, for any new listeners, we play the sound. It's basically when you can go out and be a normal human being while still getting home in time to not miss the narrative of the college football weekend.
Right.
I think it has to be early this week. Like, I'm looking at the slate. There is nothing before like 3:30 Eastern time.
I think that's unfair. I would say for a bit, maybe Clemson-Louisville on the road. And I'm not confident in Louisville, especially after.
If you want to die on that hill.
I'm not dying on that hill.
Be my guest.
Oklahoma in a letdown spot against a West Virginia team. I mean, Austin Kendall is, I think, maybe a game time decision. Oklahoma's going to win this game. But in terms of scare tactics, I think West Virginia might have some on defense. We've got Florida, South Carolina in a pretty big double road spot for Florida.
Muschamp.
South Carolina's defense, the Muschamp. Well, you're right. The South Carolina defense has been full on good, and I think Ryan Helinski is expected back. You know that we're on the Jack the Snack Plumber for Purdue, Iowa. I think you're probably right in that that's the window. Iowa State, Texas Tech is interesting to me. Iowa State on the road once again. So seasonal affect possibility for the Clones. I think there's interest, but in terms of headliners,
The biggest games of the weekend are Oregon, Washington, and Michigan, Penn State. And those are at 3:30 Eastern and 7:30 Eastern. Those are the games. If you watch none else, and if your team's not playing or if you don't care about your team.
Watch your team. Yeah.
Which is a possibility as we get to week 8. Those are the two games that I am recommending our listenership tune into.
Okay. I think that's right. In terms of national interest and, I'm with that.
Damn. Picks of the week.
Do you have a specific recommendation, by the way, for what to do between like 12 and 2 Eastern?
Well, I like the time window.
It's pumpkin season.
It's pumpkin season, especially here. I was going to say, this part of the country, if it stays dry right now, it's freezing cold out, not freezing, freezing, but more freezing than it's been all year. I had to turn the heat on for the first time after I got home from the mysterious day job. It is pouring. We've gotten like 2 inches of rain. And so I don't know what footing will be like come Saturday afternoon, but I would suggest maybe going to the pumpkin patch. If you've got a little one, take them on out. Go get a pumpkin. Get ready for trick or treat night. It's coming up in a lot of spots around the country. Go on out. Enjoy the great outdoors while it's still nice and cool before we get into the dead of winter.
Yeah. And if it is raining, if it is cold where you are and it's not really pumpkin weather, maybe it's chili season. Maybe it's you start with a little low and slow simmering, get some garlic and onions.
I do like
that. Really want to go for it. Maybe rehydrate some guajillos and get like a chili paste going. I think it's a good Saturday for that.
I don't even know what that word is. Guajillo?
Guajillo. It's guajillo, but yeah, guajillo. It's a type of chili.
Okay. 3:30 ABC, your defending Red Box Bowl champion Oregon Ducks.
Where's my hat?
On the road at the Washington Huskies. Oregon's about a 2.5-3 point favorite, depending where you look, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
You are our Oregon grad or Oregon aficionado. You're the man with his ear to the Oregon ground. What say you about this? About this, I guess, rivalry.
It's not an I guess rivalry. It's 100% a rivalry, and probably the game that each team cares about the most, especially with now Washington owning the Apple Cup in the manner they do. So Oregon's had an extra day of prep. They had the Colorado game on a Friday night, and Washington has, I would say, a day less than usual because of that late night road game they had against Arizona. If that's a factor to you, so be it. If Oregon wins this game on the road in Seattle, and it is expected to be rainy, seasonal affect Saturday, it's because they run well, and they looked better on the ground against Colorado. They stay ahead of the chains. They generate third and shorts, and that's how they did it last year. It was just sort of four-yard run after four-yard run, and they have to finish those long drives, keep Eason on the sideline, keep him cold, and I suppose wet if it's raining. If Washington wins, it's kind of the same thing. The Huskies have a really great offensive line. It's the receiving core is pretty shaky, some drops, and not having top-end talent, experienced talent there. Good Jacob Eason can make a ton of throws. If Oregon's able to flush him from the pocket, I think it'll be a very long day for him. Also, two strong punting teams. I don't think anybody's getting to 30 in the rain.
Okay.
With long fields ahead of them on offense and not particularly explosive offenses. So I'm not going to overthink it at this point, Ty. We've got a home dog with a good defense, especially in the back end. A loud crowd in a revenge spot after losing in overtime in Eugene. I have it 24-21, Dougs.
Wow. Going against the team.
If I'm going good defense, defensive players, it's a good defense.
Sure.
And a tough place to play in a rivalry spot with all of their attention. I can't go against what's worked for me for so long.
No, I think that's totally reasonable.
A literal home dog in the Huskies.
I really, 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 really like Oregon here.
So we disagree.
Lock of the week.
Whoa.
And I think it's a bad matchup for two reasons. Number one, Washington's two losses came against Cal and Stanford.
Mm-hmm.
Both came in situations where they were up against a good pass defense. In the Stanford case, maybe it was just for one game. But you look at this game.
Stanford rushes the passer pretty well.
I understand that. But
they do.
The numbers are sort of all over the place for the Stanford defense.
For sure.
You look at this game, I see an Oregon defense that's outstanding against the pass. They're really good in passing situations when they sort of know it's coming. And I think that works really well for them against Jacob Eason. I'm still not sure we know how to feel about Jacob Eason. I think we like him when it's a clean pocket, but when he's got pressure against a better defense, the numbers dip. So that's number one. Two.
When there's chaos around him.
Yes, thank you. Two, the Washington secondary is still really good.
Yeah, for sure.
But this is not the same Washington team that we've seen over the last couple of years. The 2019 version of this team is struggling to make a dent with its front seven. And
correct.
I am worried they're not going to be able to pressure Justin Herbert. I know the rain, the weather could play a factor here, but if he's able to pick his spots, I think it's nighty-night for Washington.
He's down his best receiver. You should remember that. And Jacob Breland, who's out for the season, the starting tight end, one of probably the best three or four tight ends in the country.
But does he still have Juwan Johnson?
He does have Juwan Johnson.
Then he's fine. Don't worry about it. He'll catch everything.
That's mean, Ty. That is mean. He has Micah Pittman, true freshman. There's a couple true freshman receivers in this game who are pretty interesting. Micah Pittman and Puka Nacua for Washington.
I feel fine about Oregon's chances to move the ball through the air here. I think they're a lot better. And I feel like people are going to take Washington more because of their track record, just as a good team over the last couple seasons, and not because they've watched a whole lot of Husky football this year.
It's a semi-broken Washington offense.
Yes.
It is. I don't think the consistency in running the ball is there. You know, as we mentioned, the chaos with Jacob Eason, when things get hairy, they get sticky. He gets hairy and sticky. I regret that phrasing almost
immediately. He's a dog. It's okay.
He's a dog. There's a certain advantage to playing at home.
And there is.
Comfort and
there is, but this could be an 8-4 or 7-5 Washington team. Like, that's the caliber team this is this year.
Okay.
in my opinion.
Fair enough. It's a tough place to go and win. It is.
I like Oregon big, 31-17, and I locked it up.
Whoa. Okay.
I feel very confident about Oregon's chances here.
We disagree. I hope they win. That'd be great.
Going out to solidverbal.com/pick'em if you want to play along. Got 10 games for you to pick. It's free to play. Ton of fun. Okay. We disagree. Moving on. 4 p.m.
Can you only use that voice?
That's the first time I've ever used that voice for that.
Yeah.
4 p.m. on Fox. The Baylor Bears on the road at Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State, a 3.5 point favorite here, Dan. As you know, I was very high on Baylor going into this season because of my almost irrational love for one Charlie Brewer.
Yeah, I remember.
And Matt Rhule. And just the way that Baylor as a team has played over the last two seasons, despite the win-loss record, despite all that, I just really like those two guys in particular.
I gotcha.
And you know how I fixate on some things and it's not always healthy and doesn't always yield good picks, correct picks, but we got to be true to ourselves here. This year, Baylor 6-0. They're kind of in the same camp as Minnesota in that they're very quiet, unbeaten. Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll stay unbeaten, but this is, at least in my opinion, a really good college football story this year that Baylor's gotten here. They're 6-0. They look good. There are some real similarities as I look at this team between what Matt Rhule did at Temple and what he's now doing at Baylor because,
sure,
you know, much more so at Baylor with the offense, right? The offense is there. It's been improving steadily each year, but the defense this season has actually been more consistent than the offense.
Yeah, there's seven guys on the defense named Matakevich, if you really have dug into the roster.
It's crazy.
Real Baylor heads know.
They're recruiting a specific type of player.
Yeah.
They don't give up a ton of big plays. They're pretty decent against the pass. They're really good against the run.
Yeah.
A lot of this is good stuff here, Dan. So I think my initial lean is Baylor to win outright. I'm struggling with the spread here.
What type of gambler are you? You just like road favorites? That's the new tie?
It is the new tie.
Okay, so a few situational things to be concerned about for the Bears, who've had a very good season. They're coming off a double overtime Bear win, B-E-A-R, or B-A-R-E, whichever, against Texas Tech. Oklahoma State's coming off a bye and playing at home. Situationally, advantage the folks who play in Stillwater, the Pokes. The Baylor front, you mentioned them being good against the run against Chuba Hubbard a week after Texas Tech ran pretty decently against Baylor is intriguing, but Chuba can't do it alone. He absolutely cannot. And Spencer Sanders, for as many fun, interesting throws as he's made, he has had some issues. He has thrown the ball to teams that are not in orange. So I'm a little bit worried about how complete Oklahoma State can be. I think their ceiling offensively is newly low from where it's been recently.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's an open face letdown look ahead for Baylor with a bye coming up. So letdown look ahead. I think situationally too many things are working against the Bears. I think Oklahoma State wins this one 27-23.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm going Pokes.
Yeah. On the Oklahoma State side, it is interesting because you've got this combination of veteran playmaking ability.
Yeah.
With the growing pains of someone like Spencer Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it all works out okay because it's offense and Mike Gundy knows how to coach offense at Oklahoma State. It's fine. But
right.
Defensively, it's kind of the same thing we're used to seeing. They played two offenses all year in Texas and Texas Tech that were above average.
Mm-hmm.
And they struggled pretty badly against both. Even the wins, if you look at what they've done so far, feel a bit hollow to me.
I see that. Yeah.
They've been mistake prone all year. So I get the atmospheric argument, but I look at Oklahoma State. I look at the full product, what we've seen now halfway through the year. And
you actually have to like them. Yes. It's not just situational.
Yeah,
I get you.
I think Baylor is the better team here. Plus, look how healthy that bear mascot looks. Is that not the healthiest looking bear?
It is fat bear season right before hibernation. Yeah. No, it's a happy bear.
If they're at home, they're favored by 6.
Right.
I think it's something like 31-28, Baylor wins on the road. I guess that means Oklahoma State covers, but I just legit feel like they're the better team here, and they go on the road and get a big W. They will not go undefeated. I'm not saying they go undefeated.
Right.
but I think the train keeps rolling.
All right. I mean, they've certainly looked better at home. They haven't really played anybody at home. I think they played, what, McNeese State and Kansas State, and they pulled away from Kansas State. So we really don't have a good concept, but the fact remains, and this will be a 2020 fantasy thing, I believe. We were chatting about this. The bye week could not have come at a better time for Oklahoma State. So, you know, you get a reboot week. Hopefully the offense looks a little bit more robust against Baylor.
6 p.m. Pac-12 Network. This is a big one on the Pac-12 Network, isn't it?
Yeah.
Arizona State at Utah. Utah, a 14-point home favorite, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
This is a big one here. Big point spread. Utah, typically, when they're a double-digit favorite, is not where I look for a lock. But how do you feel about this one?
Utah's it's on the verge of a lock for me.
Really?
Arizona State, I think the story is Jaden Daniels, and the defense has been really good against the run, but the fact is Jaden Daniels has to be kind of a do-it-all guy, which is both impressive and worrisome at the same time because of the line he has. I really like what's Brandon Ayuk. At receiver, I think he is definitely, you know, near the top, if not at the top of the Pac-12 receivers. He's really, really strong. But ASU kind of depends on downfield passing from Jaden Daniels for everything. And if they don't have a counterpunch offensively against an excellent Utah team on the road in a revenge spot, if you remember, Tyler Huntley got hurt against ASU last year against Tempe. And in Tempe, I want to say it was Jason Shelley who came in and ASU won that game. Ty, I know you have the soundboard in front of you. If they're playing this game in Salt Lake City, it feels like it's going to be played at altitude, right? Kind of a perfect storm for me. Let down after that huge ASU win last week against Wazoo.
Am I hitting the lock?
What's 14 points?
14.
Oh, man. The score I have written down here is 35-21 without fully knowing if it had changed. So, you know what? Yeah, I think ASU is going to have some issues in a letdown spot at altitude, so lock up Utah. Yeah.
It'd be cooler if you got the straight-up push. That would really be cool.
So I'll say 34-17. Okay. How about that? Utah is just, they're in a position, we've talked about this Utah program before, where if there are shaky things about your team, Utah's just going to say, oh, okay, we gotcha. Uh-huh. Yeah, we'll take care of that.
I'm with you. I think the score is 28-13. There's a very obvious mismatch here, and that's Utah's defensive front against Arizona State's offensive line, which, as we've said time and again on this show, leaves a lot to be desired.
For sure.
And yeah, you could make the counterpoint that Arizona State has already beaten two good defenses on the road at Michigan State and Cal, but Utah's just better. They're a better team. They're certainly better offense than either of those teams. And the other thing on the ASU front, not to diminish what they've done this season, because it's been damn impressive, especially Jaden Daniels, right?
Right.
I think the fact that they're 5-1 is sort of a helpful distraction from the fact that their offense has been pretty inefficient. At least statistically speaking, it hasn't been great.
Yeah.
And this is kind of the matchup where that comes back to bite you. So, like I said, 28-13, I'm not going to lock it up. I'm all in on Oregon, but I do like Utah an awful lot here. At altitude, as you said.
Yeah, I'm with you. Situationally, I do like Utah. I don't just like the situation, although that is an advantage as well. So we agree.
7:30 on ABC, we've got Michigan at Penn State. The line has swelled.
Oh.
9 points. Penn State is now the favorite. I don't know if you saw this. I sent you the link. I don't know if you clicked on it. Did you happen to see the replies when the official Michigan account on Twitter announced that this was going to be a night game?
Yeah, it was a lot of doomsday, if I remember correctly.
Just streams of fans saying, well, this is a loss. So
it's a whiteout, right?
A whiteout, just had that very defeatist British flavor to it. And I couldn't help
British
but chuckle.
British or brutish? And I think both work.
I said British, but brutish would work.
Okay.
The last time Michigan played a night game in State College, they lost 42-13.
Mm-hmm.
I personally am having a lot of trouble with this one.
Walk me through it.
First off, Michigan is basically Iowa with a better defense and a worse offense.
I mean, they outscored Iowa's offense.
They outscored them.
They scored a touchdown.
Technically
in that game,
speaking.
So that's better.
I am so perplexed by this offense at Michigan playing so badly. But I guess we're at a point where we just got to accept it. We haven't seen much. I keep saying this. We have not seen much to make us any more confident that this is all going in a good direction. Like, the Rutgers game was great.
Right.
But the Illinois game, another good chance for a good knee pop, right?
Right.
Neck crack. Love that sound.
The Army struggle looks worse and worse.
And then the second half against Illinois was kind of a mess.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like their defense a lot. I think it poses a real challenge for Sean Clifford. He wasn't great against Iowa.
No.
But there's another opportunity here for Ricky Ronnie to leverage Noah Cain, maybe bring a little more balance to this offense. I keep thinking that Penn State is young and they're going up against a top five defense and that 9 points is crazy because of that. But the Michigan offense is very clearly the worst unit on the field. So it's like, I don't know, two things competing with each other in my head.
So something that you didn't mention. Well, there's a couple things you didn't mention. I guess a little bit. So the Penn State defense looks great. Looks capital G great right now. Is it Iowa is the best offense they face? Pitt? They haven't fully been tested.
No, they haven't.
Their fault? We're only a few weeks, halfway into the season, I suppose. So they haven't really had to counterpunch. They haven't had to weather going down 10-3, 17-10, and really hold their own. So we don't have the full catalog on the Penn State defensive ability, and that's fine. But they appear to be very, very good, especially up front. On the other side, we've seen Michigan, or I guess specifically, we've seen Don Brown and Ricky Ronnie nose to nose. One man comes out. And last year, it took a pathetic Tommy Stevens touchdown with like a minute and a half left in the game for Penn State to have not 0 points. I assume you remember last year's game.
I do. Well,
it was 42-7. It was 42-0 for all intents and purposes, right?
Yep.
So that to me is a little bit scary. Michigan's not running the offense they ran last year. They don't have specifically the same exact guys on defense. Devin Bush is gone. There are great players on this Michigan defense. I think Quiddy Pay is expected to come back. But the Michigan offense is real scary. Against Iowa and Wisconsin, I think they're averaging 12 points a game against the actual real defenses they've played. They're coming up just shy of 2 touchdowns and 2 extra points, which is not great.
No.
So I think I'm going Penn State here. I think they edge them out. I think that's too many points. I'm with you. I think it's something kind of dreadful, 17-12.
I have 24. 17-12 was the Iowa score. Penn State, Iowa.
Oh, okay. So maybe,
but this could happen again.
Yeah. I mean, although that might require 4 Michigan field goals, which might be a lot to ask for Michigan's field goal
unit. This is the kind of game where someone scores 19 points.
Yeah, you thinking that a team scores 24 in this game sounds ambitious to me.
I have 24-17 Penn State.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go 20-13 Penn State.
Okay.
I think if they lean on Noah Cain and slow the game down and keep Shea Patterson on the sideline overthinking things mentally as he prepares to go back into the game, I think Penn State should be in a good position. Maybe get a pick six. I think I'm going State at home. It's just Jim Harbaugh on the road with Michigan against good teams is not a particularly attractive record.
All right, Dan, before we get to some of our other action,
yeah,
you need to take a knee here.
Oh, well, you won't be able to hear me, which is probably a good thing for some people.
We need to talk about our friends over at Roback Activewear.
Oh, I'm standing for this. Hell yeah.
Are you wearing your Roback around?
I wore it yesterday.
Okay.
And Jody with an eye saw the shirt, recognized that it was a new polo, had already lost her voice, and just gave me a new shirt and then a thumbs up. I mean, she didn't say thumbs up, but it gave me a thumbs up. So that's an endorsement that I've heard recently.
Playing through the pain over there, Jody with an eye. Okay.
Yeah.
Roback, look, we've talked about Roback before. Got a little bit of Baker Mayfield in him.
Yep.
He was spotted wearing some of that Roback gear. You can now spot us as well as numerous other Verballers wearing the Roback gear. It is spelled R-H-O-B-A-C-K. They make the most comfortable performance polos, tees, and Q-zip pullovers in the game. They went through over 20 iterations to find the perfect collar for their signature polos. Collar is an important part of the polo, as you know.
Oh, it's a great collar.
Their wicking performance fabric is very soft and the fits right. You can wear it tucked. You can wear it untucked. Obviously, people are going to games right now. You got tailgating going on. Go check out Roback. Get one of their game day polos. It's perfect for the fall in one of your favorite school's colors. Also, they got the cool dog logo, which I know I've been talking about, but the dog logo is a little bit more meaningful to me right now, given the fact that I'm living in Puppyville all day, every day.
Yeah.
They have shared some of their stuff with us, as Dan mentioned. We love it. We wouldn't endorse it if we didn't. Right now, you can head on out to roback.com. That's R-H-O-B-A-C-K. Use the promo code SOLID20. That's S-O-L-I-D 2, the number 2, 0. You will get 20% off your first order. Again, check it out. It's roback.com. Use the promo code SOLID20. I'll just add as a very quick aside here, I had a chance to talk to some of the folks from Roback on the phone. They love the Verbal. They're huge fans of what we're doing. They wanted to be part of this college football season with us. And we're excited to have them, Dan, because they make a great product.
Yes.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
All right, let's dive back in here.
Let's do it.
Ohio State at Northwestern. If we could travel back in time here, if you don't mind. 8:30, it's on Friday. FS1.
Nope. It's on Big Ten Network because of baseball. It got switched today. Sorry, Ohio State, Northwestern.
Okay. Yeah, breaking news. I won't play the sound, but...
Yeah. No, they were thinking maybe Fox Business and then Fox Sports 2, and it ended up on BTN.
28 points is the point spread here. Is it fair to assume we're both taking Ohio State? Yes?
I don't know.
Really?
So the only reason... So Northwestern has an amazing defense and they're playing at home. I don't think Kyle Field is the toughest. Ryan Field. I always screw those up. I don't think Ryan Field is the toughest place to play. But I saw something that just, there's something about nostalgia, Ty. What did the Notre Dame, the Field crew do ahead of the Bush push game?
They grew it out. Yeah. I was there.
Yeah.
It looked like a cow pasture to the naked eye. I don't know what it looked like on TV.
So
to the naked eye, it looked like a hayfield.
I think they do this pretty, like, this is just that what their field is. But our friend Nicole Auerbach over at The Athletic did a piece about it, and it came up again this week. And that just got me feeling all sorts of things. And then I realized, oh, it's Northwestern. So I think I'm going Ohio State here. I don't know if I'm giving these points, though. That's a lot of points against a legitimately very good defense. I think I have it like 34-10, and it's not particularly competitive. But I think you get a backdoor cover. It's 34-3 with 3 minutes left, and Northwestern scores.
Oh,
yeah,
man. I think they blow the doors off Northwestern. Northwestern might not even score. How are they going to score on Ohio State?
It could be walk-ons. It could be student managers out there. It could be they probably have a bus driver or three that are eligible. You never know who comes in at the end of this game in Evanston. So I'm going to say backdoor cover Northwestern. Boom.
I think the bet here, and I looked at this earlier. I'm scrambling here to pull it up now.
Yeah.
I feel like the bet here would be team points for Ohio State. Team points for Ohio State.
What is the over-under right
now? The over-under is 38.5.
It's a great over-under.
I think they go way over that. They might score 50.
But Northwestern plays really good defense.
I don't know.
I think they're the number, I'll look this up right now as we're talking. I have the data in front of me. They're the number five SP plus defense in the country. I understand they're 124 on offense. I get all of that.
One of the great half teams in the history of our show.
If Northwestern does nothing else, they stop big plays.
All right.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. They've played Michigan State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Stanford, all teams that have offense at times. At times being pretty operative there.
I'm going.
So I'm going to take those points.
You're changing your pick then. You're taking the points.
Yeah, I said backdoor cover. Backdoor cover. I think it's about a 24 point. Yeah, so I'm taking the good defense at home.
I think Ohio State blows them out. All right.
Okay.
Let's go back to Saturday, 12 p.m. ESPN, Florida on the road at South Carolina. Florida's only a 7-point road favorite. This is the Will Muschamp Bowl, as we said at the top. Mm-hmm. Definitely a letdown spot for South Carolina after that huge upset on the road last week against Georgia. Also, maybe kind of a letdown for Florida as well after that huge night game at LSU. The good news for South Carolina is that Ryan Helinski's knee injury was just a sprain. He should be good to go in this one. To what degree do we believe in South Carolina keeping the magic going for another week?
God, it's a letdown of all letdowns, but it's another road game for Florida in a row coming off of their trip to Baton Rouge. And I really like betting against teams that have that double road situation against good defenses.
I know.
So I'm going to take the points. I am. I'm going to say, even if South Carolina's defense is a little bit inflated right now, that defense is making plays. I like Rico Dowdle enough on offense, even though I don't think South Carolina is super deep with playmakers. I think they can ugly this game up. I think if you're going to call it the Muschamp Bowl, and I think I saw that they're handing out Muschamp eyeglasses.
Yes, they are.
You obviously saw they're called Professor Muschamp eyeglasses, yep. I believe.
Yes, they are.
It looked more like to me like the Tasmanian Devil was wearing eyeglasses during the game last night. I'm taking the points here. I have it something, 20-17. Florida wins, but I'm going to take those points.
I'm going to go Florida.
Okay.
I'm going to go Florida. I don't feel great about it. This line scares the crap out of me. And truly, it does feel to me, you know what? No, I'm going the other direction. I changed my mind. Mid-sentence, because when the line feels a little too low, you got to steer into it. I'm with you.
Let's all roll. Right. And South Carolina, are they a team that you believe in? Because you also have to believe in them some, because the offense hasn't been that good.
I believe in them to the extent that they can muddy this one up.
Yeah. Ryan Helinski is still a backup true freshman going up against a pretty fast, nasty Florida defense.
And the two consecutive road games factor that you mentioned, this is not an easy place to play either. It's not LSU, but it's not an easy place to play. 12 o'clock.
Did we just have a moment?
I think we did.
Okay.
FS1, Iowa State at Texas Tech. The line here, again, 7 points. Iowa State is a road favorite. As we said at the top, as I'm going to say again and play again here, it is Brocktober. I love that sound.
Yeah.
When he graduates, I don't know what I'm going to do. We've got a couple of years yet. The Clones, 4-2. They have lost to Iowa and Baylor so far this year. They haven't really beaten anyone exciting, though I do think this is a very good football team. It just, they don't have that signature win that makes me, too excited.
Right, hot and bothered.
Defense is a top 20 unit. The SP Plus has Iowa State at 15th in the country. The FPI has them at 16th. And our friends over at Massey Peabody have them at 17th. So there's a general consensus about how good this team is relative to their peers.
Right.
Yet they're not ranked at all in the AP poll. And I think, just some important context there. On the Tech side, I'm real curious what they got left in the tank because they played Oklahoma State, and Baylor in consecutive weeks.
Tough stretch.
While I've been impressed with the offense under Jet Duffy, it is a fair question, like how much does this team have in the tank at this point, right?
Yeah, they slowly march down the field. I think they probably run better than they pass, and that's the Alan Bowman thing has to be a pretty significant factor there. Defensively, they've been up front. They've been pretty good. This is not a disaster of a defense like it was a few years ago under Cliff. So I think I'm gonna like Tech to keep it close. It was back and forth last year in Ames before I think Iowa State pulled away late and they won by 8 or 9 points. So the double, if I'm going to say double road stuff scares me.
Yeah,
it scares me with Iowa State all the same. So I think Iowa State wins this game. But again, I'm just going to roll with a home dog and Iowa State's going to be ducking tortillas, Ty.
That's right. That's 100%
right. So yeah, I'm going to take those points. I think it's close.
I don't want to touch the spread here. I would probably go points. I think the
especially with what we saw from Iowa State going to Baylor a few weeks ago.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. I think big plays will be there for Brock Purdy in the passing game. Yeah. And that will likely be the difference here. I think they win.
Yeah.
But 7 points, we know Tech can score. Jet Duffy's been good. Nah, too many points for me.
Okay.
Let's go to 3:30. Let's stay in the great state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about the game at 3:30 on ESPN2. It is the Temple Owls, Dan, on the road at SMU. SMU is a 7.5 point favorite.
Yeah.
Another game where I'm going to steer clear of that point spread because these teams feel dead even to me.
Okay.
Seven points.
If they feel dead even, then you should take those points merrily, happily.
I think Temple has the better defense. SMU has the better offense. The SMU defense does do a lot right, though, even when the numbers aren't particularly sparkling.
Right.
I'm going to watch to see what happens when Temple tries to run the ball, because that's really their bread and butter on offense. If they can get something going on the ground, I think will be the operative question here. I do think SMU wins. I think it's close. I'll say like 24-20, somewhere in that vicinity.
I think I'm going to go Temple here. I know close, fun win against Memphis last week. The best part of this game is the Temple defense. And SMU is coming off of a bye. That's what situationally scares me. But yeah, Shane Buechele throwing into the teeth of a good defense.
Yeah.
Not my favorite thing. So I'm going to go Temple here to keep it going. They had the one slip up against, I want to say, Buffalo, and it wasn't pretty at all, but they've been good. So, yeah, I'm going Owls on the road.
All right, I'm going to rifle through
three
SEC games here real quick.
Okay.
3:30 on CBS, we got LSU at Mississippi State. LSU is a big 19.5 point favorite. 6 o'clock on ESPN, Kentucky at Georgia. Georgia, a 25-point favorite. And then, of course, the rivalry game. 9 p.m. ESPN, Tennessee at Alabama. Alabama, a 5-touchdown, 35-point favorite, Dan. Any thoughts on those three games?
In all of those games, I am just going to take the points. I am going to take the points because Tennessee showed a little bit of life last week, especially on offense. I'm going to take the points with LSU Mississippi State because it's a prime letdown spot for LSU. I don't love Mississippi State by any stretch. I think they can ugly this one up enough and lose by a couple touchdowns. And we're Bowden believers here.
We are Bowden. Verbal. We are Bowden levers.
Bow levers.
It's a little clunky.
Yeah, Bo knows how to keep it close enough against Georgia. He's listed along with Sawyer Smith and like the Lynn Bowden or Sawyer Smith on the depth chart.
Yeah.
Georgia wins this game last year by 17. Now they're another touch. I think Kentucky can weird this one up enough. So I'm going to take all the points here.
I could see LSU blowing the doors off Mississippi State. Mississippi State looked bad.
Defense isn't good at all.
I could see LSU covering that one. The Kentucky game.
Sort of going through the life cycle of Bob Shoop, right? You're like, oh my God.
I know.
This guy is amazing.
Yeah.
Next year. Oh my God. What happened? It's the Bob Shoop experience.
The Kentucky game, I would be inclined to take points as well. My suspicion is that Georgia's going to rebound nicely.
I think it's a net crack game for sure for Georgia.
Yeah, but 25 is a lot of points.
Yeah.
And 35, Tennessee, I don't know. That's a lot of points. It's a rivalry. I'd probably go points there as well.
Alabama had 77 points by the end of the first 5 minutes against Tennessee last year. It was very ugly. That was like you keep looking at the bottom line on ESPN or you look at your scoreboard on your laptop while you're watching, you're like, wait a minute, something is malfunctioning. The control room has been, the barrier has been broken. Somebody is screwing with us. And it was not. That was ugly early. So we'll see.
All right. And finally, Florida State at Wake, 7:30 ACC Network. Wake is a 1.5 point favorite here. Okay.
Hashtag consider Wake.
Are we reconsidering Wake after what happened last week in that Louisville game?
Not really. Wake's offense was incredible. And I know Jamie Newman's status, as I said, is sort of TBD at the time, at least we're recording this. Wake has a really good offense. Florida State has a good offense. They're dealing with injuries, and that's not great. I think Wake wins this game. I think the Florida State defense is too perilous at times, so give me Wake. Yeah.
I like Wake as well.
Scattered showers, I should mention.
And finally, 9:30, Pac-12 Network, Arizona at USC. USC's a 10-point favorite, Dan.
Yeah.
USC, of course, lost a week ago on the road in South Bend. They lost by 3, had a chance at the onside kick, didn't get it, ended up losing the game. Any letdown effect here at home against Zona?
No, because Arizona got the complete doors blown off them last weekend as well against Washington, especially. I mean, they didn't allow, I don't think, an offensive touchdown in the first half, and then just everything goes to hell for the Wildcats. I think USC wins this by a couple touchdowns, so I'm going to sort of happily give those points. I think USC is not as bad as the USC fans would have people believe.
That's what I said last week before the Notre Dame game.
And you know what?
I believe that.
USC basically did everything to win that game. They just needed to show a little bit more life early.
I agree, totally. USC, this is not a bad football team.
No, they're
I understand. I understand that. I know USC fans very well. Very close friends of mine are USC fans.
Well, they want them to be bad because they want a new coach. So there's something. There's a willful evaluation there.
There are two things going on there. There's a little bit of a push-pull, right? They want the team to do well, but not that well.
Right. Yeah, you want to do well enough to show promise for recruiting, but not 10-2 well.
That is all I got on my big sheet. Are there any other games that you'd like to mention?
There are. So our pal Adam Amin is doing UCLA-Stanford, which watch the game for our pal Adam, and you don't have to pay attention to UCLA. Stanford has some interesting players. Also, Adam, he didn't send us a voicemail, but I think he re-gifted a recommendation that I gave him for Palo Alto.
Okay.
Go to Hobie's, H-O-B-E-E. I don't know how many E's are in there. It's a really good creative diner in Los Altos. Friday night is Pitt-Syracuse. I only mentioned that because the ACC is so friggin' wide open underneath Clemson that Pitt has like a very understandable road to 9 or 10 wins, and that could start in the Carrier Dome Friday night if you're bored. We mentioned Clemson-Louisville briefly, but Puma Pass, I think, is having season-ending surgery on his foot, but I'm still a believer in this offense. The line is actually pretty good for Louisville. I really like what their offensive line looks like. So I don't think they're winning this game, but I think they're worth paying attention to from a football perspective. We briefly mentioned West Virginia, Oklahoma. Letdown effect for sure for Oklahoma, but Austin Kendall is, you know, I think he's a maybe for this game. Mentioned the fighting Jack Plumbers for Purdue, who showed a lot of life, and they have a defense that's going to be a lot tougher than what they saw last week. TCU, Kansas State. I don't know if you have any big thoughts there as a TCU fanboy.
Sorry, Dan, you might be thinking of somebody else.
Oh, is that true?
TCU's
you've broken
dead
up.
To me.
You've we defriended. Broke. You've muted them on Instagram.
Yep, it's over.
Do you do the? Do you like defriend people on Facebook?
Nah.
Is that a thing that you've done recently, or Instagram, anything like that?
Not really. No.
And the mute is beautiful. The mute is a
the mute.
Thing.
The mute is the best invention since the cotton gin. Yeah.
I think the Hokies are kind of excited about Hendon Hooker, even though I think they beat Rhode Island last week, Virginia Tech. They have North Carolina. So two potentially promising youngish quarterbacks in this game. Does this do anything for you, Sam Howell, Virginia Tech?
No, you know I like Sam Howell. I got to go Sam Howell in that one.
Duke, Virginia, another one of those ACC's wide open. Ugh. This seems above average.
I could have sworn these teams played twice already this year.
This is an actual very intriguing G5 game, Tulane and Memphis.
Okay.
Yes. Is this not getting you hot and bothered? I want Tulane to go like 10-2, 11-1. I think that'd be a great story. I think Willie Fritz, you know, is he the next Illinois coach?
He could be. I'm pretty excited about Memphis, though. I like Memphis a lot, even though they lost last week. I like Memphis.
Texas A&M and the Ole Miss fighting John Rhys Plumlees. Ole Miss improved defense and kind of a scary, talented runner at quarterback in John Rhys Plumlee.
Right.
In a Rich Rod offense.
Yeah.
I think Ole Miss, it might be America's, they're not good, but they're fun team from Power Five conferences. And otherwise, Ty, just a quick request, can you drop that big stanky quivering questionable and that's it. Drum and Fife.
You went with Q's that time, huh?
Quivering, questionable. And I just, that was fine for me. Lafayette, 0-6.
Yeah.
Not great, Bob. Start to the season at noon at Georgetown, the Hornet's Nest. It is multi-sport field where teams, bad teams, go to stay dead.
Daniel, I'm going with the Leopards here to pull the upset.
Oh, my God.
Listen. If anybody can do it, it's the Yetis, and it's Big John Burke along the line. Have you seen this guy?
I have not, Ty.
Number 60.
Please tell
look
me about Big John Burke.
6'4", 325 along the line. He is the line, Dan. Great football smarts, great regular smarts. Lafayette pulls the upset in the Hornet's Nest that is multi-sport field. And they win.
Is he your cousin?
No.
Are you sure?
I've pulled out a select grouping of players here from this Patriot League slate this week.
Okay, we've got Harvard 3-1 at Holy Cross 3-3. Struggling to get above 500. Crusaders or the Vardys?
No, I go Vardys here. Jake Smith's the real dealer quarterback for the Crimson. Nobody wants to go to Worcester, Mass, but it's only an hour west of Harvard. So, give me
Nobody
Harvard.
Nobody wants to go to Worcester, Mass.
No.
Is that where Holy Cross is located?
That's what the internet tells me, yes.
Oh, good research. Lehigh, where you got married.
I did.
At Fordham, which is like 17 subway stops away from me.
Yeah.
Lehigh 2-3, Fordham 3-4. So somebody's going to be 500 after this one, probably.
Some may look at Tyler Monaco's 3-touchdown-to-4-interception ratio, but I see 3-4 in the Fordham schedule. But I see 3-4 in the Fordham record.
Yeah.
I like the symmetry. I think advantage Fordham. I do think the Mountain Hawks have been saving Tyler Monaco all season, though. Maybe just sandbagging in preparation, giving Fordham a false sense of security. Weird numerical symmetry. I think a late interception by Sam McCloskey wins it for the Mountain Hawks.
I'm going Hams here. I'm going Hams. I'm staying local. Colgate, 0-7.
It's unbelievable that they've still...
did not find a way to get out of there, get into the Wonder Dome.
They've managed to lose every game since we decided to go see them in Fargo.
So they're 0-7. God only knows why. They're traveling to Ithaca to take on Cornell, who's 1-3. They have played 3 fewer games. The weird-ass Ivies, and they're probable they're going to class. I also like that this game is on ESPN+,
right,
which was probably scheduled many moons ago. I'm like, yeah, Colgate. Yeah, going to Cornell. Sure, Colgate's the class of the Patriot League. I'm going to go Colgate here. I think they get off the schneid. How about that?
Give me Cornell. I think they ride their senior running back, Harold Coles, all the way, Mr. Coles, from the mean streets of Erie, Pennsylvania. Cornell wins at home.
I took Colgate every week when I was doing a show for the Action Network and ESPN Plus to tie it all together last football season. And they did such a good job for me. And I really feel like we cursed them. Finally, Bucknell at 1-5, traveling to Towson. I believe it's in Maryland.
Yes.
Ty, did your research indicate that?
It is.
Bucknell, Nelly's rough year. Are you going Towson here? I think I am.
Towson's actually one of the better FCS teams this year. So
okay,
I go Towson. I always go against the Nellies. You know that.
I know.
Although this
do.
Year less so, but usually I go against the Nellies. And the other thing I'd add here is that folks around college football, you know, we talk to people. Some of the brightest minds in the game. Yogi Roth.
People can't stop talking Towson.
Crispy Brown. Bud Elliott. All these guys are our friends. Bruce Feldman.
Mm-hmm.
People are quietly wondering if Towson's Tom Flacco is elite.
Is he related?
He's his younger brother.
Oh, really? Is he a head coach or is he a player?
No, he's a quarterback dog.
He's a quarterback dog. Like Air Bud.
Like Air Bud. That's right.
They lost 38-0 to Florida. Lost a shootout to the always tough Villanova Novas, but they beat an always tough Maine. They won at the Citadel, which gave Bama all it could handle last season for a half. Okay, I'm with you. Towson Tigers and a good logo, a good FCS logo.
Speaking of Maine and speaking of logos and speaking of Bear logos, because we talked about that earlier.
Right.
And you know where we stand on this matter.
Mm-hmm.
I have never actually seen what Maine's Bear mascot looks like on the sidelines, if they even have a mascot.
Maine Bear mascot. Okay,
but based on the logo, it almost certainly has to be like 170 pound guy with just a frightening kind of like cat mask. Cause that does not look like a real bear. So it looks like a rabid bear.
The main black bear that I'm seeing is, it almost looks like a puma, like a velvet puma.
Like a cat, right?
It's very cat-like. And the bummer is, on Google Images, the old bear was sort of teddy bearish. There's an Oski quality to the old bear, like the cow mascot.
Right.
They had, it appears, and this is wonderful, and this is the disappointing thing about what I think you're talking about, Bananas Tea Bear. They had an actual black bear on the sideline from 1916 to 1919.
Holy crap.
And I'm seeing a picture of the black bear next to, it says Bananas 4, and this is in 1922, next to like a bulldog, unattended.
Holy
it's a bear
crap.
And a bulldog hanging out. I'm seeing in 1922, the bear rode into the game in the back of a Model T.
Holy crap. This is real. You're not making this up.
No, this is totally real. Bananas 6 in 1923 is here chained to a tree. But yes, it's on the main umaine.edu website. There's a picture. I will send it to you right. I don't know if you're looking at it.
Yeah.
Are you looking at it?
No, I'm looking at my screen. I'm eagerly awaiting this message.
Yeah, okay. I'm texting you this picture right now.
Okay.
Look at this that I just sent you. Bananas Bear.
Bananas Bear.
That's the name.
Holy crap.
Yeah, that's a full, and there's, he's the bear, he or she is Bananas, and in the back seat of what appears to be a covered Model T.
Next to a guy.
Just a guy.
Just a dude hanging out with a trench coat.
Just a dude. That is the dude of Dude Alerts.
Jeez. All right.
This is fascinating.
On that note, thank you to one and all for listening to the show. This is a fun one tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Write in, let us know what you think. Could be subluxation, could be
seasonal affect,
could be, I don't know, Salad Bug Saturday. Whatever you're into, let us know. Give us a call, 408-VERBAL-1. Don't forget to listen on Sunday as we boil all those down into a nice little clip put together by our friend Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Also, please do play the Pick'em game, solidverbal.com/pick'em. You can play free against your friends. And if you haven't yet subscribed to the show, you can do so at solidverbal.com. That's our website. You can also go on out to Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Overcast. Everywhere you like to get your podcasts, you can find the Solid Verbal.
I love a good, that seems dangerous kind of story about old college mascots.
I'm surprised that the Model T could even hold the bear.
Well, bears are varied sizes, Ty.
Sure.
You can get a baby bear or whatever. But, you know, the old stories about Wisconsin having a live badger or considering a live badger, Michigan having a live Wolverine, and both deeming those ideas to be far too unpredictable. So I always appreciate failed live mascot attempts. That is a secret pleasure of mine within the sport.
Secretly decent failed mascot attempt. Okay. Yeah. Well, Daniel, this has been fun. Stay dry over there.
Thank you. You too.
Enjoy the rest of your week and your weekend. I'll talk to you on Sunday morning, bright and early. The same goes to all y'all. Please do enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy your week 8. Don't forget to hit us up on social media as the games are going on. And again, give us a call on the Reverb line. For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, and myself over here, Ty Hildebrand, thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you all soon. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.